Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You know why Paul said that? Because those were people. Our Israel is not in the Middle East. Our Israel. Jesus said that you'll take this message to Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You know what he said? Where you live, and then your neighbors, and then go from there. Start at home. Our Israel is Wakulla, Gadsden, Leon, Jefferson. What county is Cairo in? Grady and Hillsborough County. Right? That's our Israel. That's our Jerusalem. That's our Judea. Where we live. And then, what's your county? I don't even.
Columbia.
Columbia in Ohio. She gets the points for being the farthest. Sorry, Erica, she beat you to that. But guys, our home. We want to help missionaries. We are missionary minded. We are missionary Baptists. But our job is ambassadors to be missionaries. And so, yes, we can support missionaries, and we do. Finance and fund and pray for and be an encouragement to missionaries, and we should. But we are the representatives of God. And so when Paul says, my heart's desire, he didn't mean it was his wish. He meant, I'm going to do something about it. He meant, I'm going to get out there and do something to make it happen. My heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. It'd be great if they'll get baptized and go to church, but that's not the fundamental need. The fundamental need is Jesus. They need to get saved. And when we understand that, we buy into that, when we accept that in our hearts as our burden, as our mission, as our calling, things will change. People will change. The world will change. But each of us has to take responsibility. As long as we're waiting on the deacons or the pastor or the missionaries to do it, it's still not going to have the impact that it would if we'd all do it. We've all got to share the message. We've all got to have that burden. And Paul said, my people, I want my people to get saved. That means my family first. That means that doesn't mean I don't move on from them until they all get saved, but it means I try to win them to Christ first. I try to lead them to Christ first. I saw another pastor this week talking about how he's against these prayers where we say, repeat after me. Let me go back to what we said last week. If a child doesn't know how to pray, you have to teach him to pray. The apostles came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. And he didn't say, well, you'll figure it out. He didn't say, well, just talk from your heart to God's heart. He said, way, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy. He gave them words. It doesn't mean it has to be repeat after me every time, but they have to learn how to do it. And if a child comes to you, if they initiate it, say, I want to get saved, you help them pray. Help them, teach them. Verse 2, he said, I bear them record. They have a zeal. How many of you ever met somebody that had enthusiasm? A zeal. Man, excited. But he said, they have a zeal of God without knowledge, not according to knowledge. How many of you ever met somebody that had enthusiasm and didn't know about it? Man, he is so excited, but he hadn't got a clue. Unfortunately, that's very common. Unfortunately, that's even common in the pulpit. Unfortunately, that's what a lot of churches are facing today, is a preacher who doesn't study, who doesn't pray, who doesn't have the anointing leadership of God. They may get a sermon and may be able to have eloquent discourse, but they don't understand it. It's not real. You know, it's like the guy who said Psalm 23, and oh, he was a poet, and he is so eloquent, and boy, everybody just cheered and clapped, and then this other fellow got up there, and he read Psalm 23, and had the whole place in tears. They said, what's the difference? He said, you know Psalm 23, I know the shepherd. That's the difference. There's a difference when it connects. There's a difference when it's genuine, when it's sincere, when it's real. I want you to know how to lead somebody to Christ, how to show them the right words. But if they see that you've got Jesus, it makes all the difference in the world. He said the problem with some people is they've got religion, but they don't have Jesus. They have zeal of God, but they don't understand what it's all about. Look at what he says in verse 3. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness. Oh, my goodness. They are trying to establish their own righteousness. How do we do that? Save the whales. Save the owls. Save the water. By the way, I'm in favor of all that. Climate change, save the planet, feed the hungry, shelter the homeless. Again, I'm in favor of sheltering the homeless. I'm not opposed to those things. Activism for those that are being discriminated against. Even religious efforts, religious programs, busyness in the church, and personal rehabilitation, AA, NA. G-A, all the A's. Again, if you've got a problem and you want a group that will help you, that I'm not opposed to those things. But if you get reformed and rehabilitated without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have not accomplished what you need to accomplish. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. I've accepted Him as my Savior. He washed my sins away, changed my life, and He can do the same thing for you. But they're trying to establish their own righteousness. Guys, why would we do this on our own when Jesus has already paid the price? He's already made the way. They have a zeal. Establishing their own righteousness. And then that last part of verse 3. They have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Hey. Surrender today. God. My sins. I trust Christ as my Savior. And I surrender to You. I give my life to You. Submit. Again, nothing wrong with doing all these good deeds. But how about surrendering to God and let Him show you which ones matter? How many of you know somebody that stays busy, but they're busy doing things that don't matter? Doing things that don't make a difference. They don't make an impact. How many of you ever work with somebody that does that? They love all day doing something that's not going to help the project. But they look busy. I don't understand that. Can't comprehend that. Look at verse number 6. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Guys, you don't have to go to Jerusalem to find Jesus. I can tell you, the tomb is empty, but I knew that before I got there. He's not on the cross anymore. That's why we don't wear crucifix with Jesus on the cross. Because He's not on the cross anymore. He was put in the tomb and He rose up from the tomb. He's on the right hand of the Father in heaven. Why do we imagine that Jesus is so distant? I'm not opposed to Bible college, But how about read the Bible first? How about read the Bible at home? I'm for Sunday school. I'm in favor of church services. I'm in favor of preaching. I'm in favor of good preaching. How many of y'all like good preaching? How many of y'all wish we had some around here? Order some up. I love it. I really enjoy it. But hey, guys, read your Bible. Preacher to give you Jesus. He is near. You know He's near. We're going to have an invitation at the end. I'm going to stand down here and I'm going to give you an invitation to come down the aisle, take me by the hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus and I'd love to share Christ with you. But you don't have to wait till then. Right now, from your heart to God's heart, you can say, God, I know I'm a sinner and I know Jesus died for my sins. And God, I put my trust in you and ask you to forgive my sins. And God, I give my life to you in Jesus' name. Right now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait to surrender till you're older. You don't have to wait to surrender till you hit the lottery. I always hear people say, well, when I get that lottery, when I get that settlement, when I retire, guys, don't wait. Live for Jesus today. Submit to God today. He's not far. The word is near. It's right in your mouth. What is that word? What does the Bible say? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How can I get saved? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You want to talk about an army of people who can tell others how to be saved? First. You want to start in John 3:16? Do it. You want to start at Genesis 1:1? Don't do that. Trust me, that's too far back. You want to go to Romans 3:23 and 6:23? That's what you want to read all the verses? That's fine. Ephesians? Fine. I just gave you one verse. By the way, John 3:16, not a bad single verse, is it? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. My heart to God's heart. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Who can be saved? Remember, Jesus talked about the rich man in Sunday school this morning, and the disciples said, oh boy, then who can be saved? Verse 12, there is no difference between Jew and Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But Pastor, you don't know what I've done. Whosoever. But you don't know where I come from. Whosoever. But you don't know how bad my thoughts are. Whosoever. Get saved. Let God clean out your thoughts. Get saved. Let God wash away your past. When you stand before God, get excited about this. I expect some hollering, all right? When you stand before God, He's not going to bring up a single sin if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Thank you, Sister Carolyn, for hollering. None, that thing that you cheated on, not on the record. Pulls up the record, it's not there. That lie you told, like it was only one. Right? Not there. That stealing, not there. That whatever, I don't know. Don't tell me. Don't confess. It's not there. Why? Because you prayed and asked Jesus Christ to wash your sins away, and He did, and it's all gone. Pastor, the Bible says those who trust Christ are still going to stand in judgment. We are. Because there's some things He put on that list for us to do. There's some talents and gifts that I want you to use this for my glory. That's the board we're answering for over there. The one with the sins, that's all gone. Isn't that good news? Aren't you glad you're saved? Get saved if you're not. whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? Hold on a second. You mean to tell me there are people in this county within the sound of our property who don't know Jesus Christ? Yes, there are. Your house where you live, your neighbors, and make a circle and start going out and you'll find people who don't know Jesus. And your office right there, your next door neighbor that don't know Jesus. They need Jesus. You know where they're going if they go into eternity without Jesus? You know? How long are they going to be there? So does it not matter? Isn't it important? How then shall they call on him who heard? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Y'all understand that preacher? It's talking about all of us. Yeah, I need to do my job. But you need to do yours too. Look at what it says about your feet in verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Next time you go get a pedicure and they ask why your feet are so pretty, that's what you tell them. You see, what happened is, back then they didn't have the internet where they could just get a phone off their hip and look at all the latest news. They didn't have a television satellite they could just turn on and see the news around the world instantaneously. You know what would happen? Something would happen down in the valley and somebody would run up the mountain to tell somebody. Something would happen in the North Country and they'd to tell people what's happening. How beautiful are the feet those brought that messenger to give them the message, to give them the good news. Maybe a king has been born, whatever it might be. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Is everybody going to believe if we reach out to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Verse 16 says they've not all obeyed. Even Isaiah, the great prophet, said, Lord, who has believed our report? But the important thing is that we report. By the way, be effective. Be persuasive. Don't just say, hey, you know you're a sinner and you're going to hell if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Got him. Hey, sir, ma'am, do you know you're going to hell if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Done. No. Works. Start with the people that are close to you. And then reach out beyond that. A missionary said, nobody should hear about the gospel twice until everybody's heard of it once. Don't bog down trying. And I know some of you got a spouse that's not saved. Don't bog down and say, well, I'm not going to move on until I get this one saved. No, you move on. Reach somebody else. Never quit trying. But you let your life show them. You let your life be the message. That's what the Bible says. Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. What do they need to hear? The doctrinal statement of the Baptists. 27 things we believe. It's not. I'm not saying it wouldn't be good for them. They need to hear the gospel. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Make it plain. Make it loving. Don't make it hard. Verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yeah, verily, they heard their sound all the earth. And their words to the ends of the earth. It's incredible that anybody could not have heard the message. But we've got to share the message. There are people who misunderstand the message. There are people who think that you have to work your way to God's good graces. There are people who think you have to give your way to God's good graces. There are people who think you've got to be baptized in order to be saved. There are people who think you've got to live a perfect life after you get saved in order to stay saved. Let's show them the way to Christ. We'll work on all that other stuff afterwards. But first, they've got to know by faith they can be saved. Verse number 20, I am bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. Isn't it incredible? I've always learned that when we're busy for God, even if I'm, let's say I'm trying to visit Brother Butch and I'm trying to reach him for Jesus, but I can't get him to come to church, but somebody else will come. And that's the way it works. As long as you're faithful, Lord's going to bless your efforts. It might not be the one you're working on, but God will bring. Isaiah said, I was found of people I wasn't looking for. I reach people. Our message goes out, and it reaches people we'll never meet until hopefully we meet them in heaven. I was found of them that sought me not. You say, just an accident. No, providence. God brings them to cross our paths. I was made manifest to them that asked not after me. Verse 21, but to Israel he saith, all day long I stretch forth my hands to a disobedient, gainsaying people. We must be persistent. We must be consistent. We must stay after it. Don't change the message. The message is always the same. No matter where we are. Stretch forth your hands to reach the lost with the gospel, with the good news, when they don't want it, when they don't want to listen to it. Just be available. Be ready. I can't tell you how many times people come and sit down with me and they start with some question way over here and we find our way back to Jesus. Jesus sat down on the well. Remember that at Samaria? Samaritan woman came up and he said, give me something to drink. Is that what they were talking about when it was over? Talked about all of her husbands and the guy she was living with. She said, he told me everything about my life. Really, all he told her was how to find living water. The faith in Jesus Christ. My faith in prayer. For my people is that they'll be saved. My hope and prayer for your people is that they'll be saved. We're going to stretch out and try to reach them. And maybe they will be saved. But if they're not, we're not going to bog down and quit working. We're going to try to help other people find Jesus and get to heaven. Let's stand. Maybe you're here this morning and you're ready to trust Christ as your Savior. Let me encourage you. This is the time. There's no better time than right now for you to put your faith in Christ. From your heart to God's heart, you could pray right now and say, God, I know. And I know Jesus died for me. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give myself, I submit myself to you. This is your opportunity. Maybe you're already saved, but you're ready to start living for God, ready to get serious. Well, tell him that. From your heart to God's heart, just talk to him. God, I've been lazy. God, I've been scared. I've been intimidated. God, I need to get busy, and I want to be busy. Sharing the hope. Sharing the gospel of peace. So God, give me the courage. God, give me direction. Whom? Where should I start? With whom? Is it the person serving me at the lunch table today? Is it somebody at the grocery store? Is it a friend, a family member, a neighbor? Is it somebody that's too far away to visit today? You'll have to call them on the phone. Maybe it's somebody in the hospital, nursing home, prison. God's given you a burden. My heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they'll be saved. My Israel, your Israel. Paul didn't just wish it, he did something about it. It wasn't a flippant prayer. God, do what you will. It was God, you show me. All right. Amen. You glad you came to church this morning?
Amen.
All right. Anything for dismissed? Tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we'll be at the state meeting. My family will be. We're going to talk to the Macedonian builders about this roof that was recommended this morning. We're going to do that while we're down there and see if we can't get something done. All right, because we're chasing leaks. Anything else before we're dismissed? Y'all get a good nap before you come back tonight. Goodness. Appreciate you. God bless you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask you if you would. Brother Bobby, would you dismiss us, please?